This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Battle for Malaysia on BFM 89.9.
This is VFM's special election day programming. It's 6:11 p.m. We're going to be here with you all night until the last vote is called. We're going to Ben Sofian right now from independent pollster Merdeka Center. Ben, always a pleasure to have you. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, Ben, where did you vote and how was that process like?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I voted in Ampang, in the great constituency of Bukit Antara Bangsa. And it was an experience.
You had some exciting candidates this time.
I do. I was waiting for free rendang handouts, but he didn't show up at my polling station. He went to the adjacent one.
I see.
So I waited at 7:30 a.m. thinking that I would be early, and then there were already like hundreds of people ahead of me. So well, high enthusiasm.
Well, that seems to be the case that we've heard anecdotally throughout the day, you know, people going early and seeing long queues ahead of them. But what do you think, Ben, in terms of, you know, we've been hearing updates of the EC saying voter turnout percentage throughout the day. We've yet to hear the final numbers. But what we're seeing is that the EC has called voter turnout in specific states. What I need your help here with is to kind of put this into context. So how do we read these numbers?
Well, I mean, the voter turnout is now coming in, I think, in drips and drabs from across the country. And I think from the little bit of numbers that I have from Perlis, Pahang, Selangor, and a couple of other states, it looks as if it's roughly coming in at about 78-79%. And that means it's about 5% lower than roughly, just roughly, approximately speaking, compared to 2013. And, you know, we can attribute this to many number of things, factors. And I think the first and foremost is that we are polling on a Wednesday instead of a weekend.
Ben, what does that mean for, I guess, the various parties? I mean, as of 3 o'clock, I'm sure you received these same WhatsApp messages. There were lots of WhatsApp messages going around, primarily from opposition parties saying, oh, you know, you got to get those numbers up because you need to break 85-90% to prevent cheating.
Yes, I think the opposition parties are counting on a higher turnout rate in excess of 85% in order to ensure that younger voters show up in large enough numbers to vote for their candidates. I think if you look at older election patterns, younger voters tend to vote for the anti-establishment candidate. And so having more people showing up tends to favor the opposition a bit more than the ruling party. So they were counting on that.
Right.
And that's why I think throughout the day we saw all these WhatsApp messages floating around asking people to show up.
But Ben, how do we make that relationship between the correlation between voter turnout and the outcome, the results outcome? Because what does, say, 79% voter turnout, does that translate into the expected outcome of whatever it is that we're expecting if it's below 85%?
Yeah, well, I think in the lower turnout, it's going to be a disadvantage for the opposition, largely because when we break it down into the constituent communities, we find that Malay voters, particularly in rural areas, turn out at far higher rates than urban voters who are predominantly non-Malays. And the anecdotal information that I've received during the course of the day seems to indicate that urban vote turnout is slightly lower. Ethnic Chinese vote in the more far-flung areas like Taiping or Kuala Lumpur or something like that seems to be a bit lower than the average. And this means for the opposition that's relying on the minority ethnic vote to push their candidates across, they are going to have trouble winning seats if this vote bank of theirs doesn't show up. On the other hand, Barisan Nasional, which relies on the Malay population in the rural areas, the rural base, are counting on their vote to show up. So if they achieve a higher turnout as compared to the opponent's vote bank, then they stand a better chance of winning.
Ben, we were speaking to Bridget Welsh a little bit earlier of John Cabot University, and she said, you know, maybe there was also this this phenomenon in GE14 where you had, say, supporters of Barisan Nasional that had opted out of voting this time around. So maybe that could explain the lower voter turnout. What do you think?
Yeah, one can't rule that out either, because you do have people who are maybe loyal to the party and couldn't bring themselves to vote for their opponent. And therefore, they decided not to show up. We've seen this pattern emerge in 2008, and we saw that the numbers tended to float around 3 to 5%. It's very constituency dependent. some, it's for some voters, it's a reaction to the national leader. Some is reaction to a local candidate. So we see some variation in the numbers. But as we recall what happened in 2008 when Dr. Mahathir then campaigned against former Premier Abdullah Badawi, the depression in the turnout was about 3%. And there was also a corresponding increase in spoiled votes.
Ben, you know, of course, this makes it even harder, given that there are multi-wave fights in almost in so many, actually, of the seats being contested, right? So the lower turnout combined with 3 and 4 and sometimes even 5-way fights, what does that mean?
Well, the multi-corner contest, particularly involving PAS and its coalition partners, I think it's going to make it very difficult for Pakatan Harapan to cross the line. From the analysis that we've done, we do notice that, you know, voters are typically, defined by the ethnic markers, you know, Malay voters and the non-Malay voters. And then for among Malay voters, in the past, it's already been quite clear that you have a generic kind of opposition Malay supporter. But now, that has to be further subdivided between those who are going to vote for the PAS candidate because they are loyal PAS supporters,
yeah,
and those who are going to go with Pakatan Harapan. So with PAS putting in candidates across 156 parliamentary constituencies, you're going to have very many PAS members, PAS supporters who overall will not vote for a Barisan National candidate but now feel compelled to vote for that PAS candidate because they support that party for its policies and so on. So we're going to see the Malay opposition vote split across the country. I think the proportions are unknown to us right now. We can only speculate. But, you know, you probably will see 20% to up to 25% of the Malay vote bank going to PAS.
Ben, your model, in your model, you actually predicted an 80% turnout. I mean, it might work out to be slightly less than that. Does that affect your model in any way?
It does a little bit because we projected an average 80% turnout, but we also have a separate turnout rate for different communities. So we think that if the actual turnout turns out to be 78%, then that will affect the model, you know, marginally. And what it means is that for the parties that are contesting, the winning margins will be even narrower, slightly narrower. Perhaps the number of seats that we had originally deemed to be too close to call, that number may expand by a couple more seats.
So some will be too close to call. Ben, how do you expect tonight to unfold? I mean, how late do you reckon we'll have to stay up to find out the results?
Well, I think in order to kind of guess like who's going to form government, I think you just need to look at the big states. You need to look at Selangor, you need to look at Johor, you need to look at Perak, you need to look at Sabah, Sarawak, of course, mm-hmm. and then perhaps Pahang. Those are the key states. If the opposition is able, you know, to take down a Barisan National state government somewhere, then you're going to see an upset or a major shift in the result. But if all of these states that are currently held by the Barisan National ends up holding out, say, for example, Perak holds out, Kedah holds out, and then Terengganu holds out, then or even Johor holds out, then you're going to see results that are going to be favoring Barisan National. So, you know, you don't really have to steal it. In terms of previous experience, we generally will know the broad outcomes by about 10:30 p.m., 11 p.m.
All right.
It could be the early results are going to show up perhaps in about half an hour to an hour from now. The unofficial numbers are starting to come up.
Oh, that's great, Ben. That means I can tidu awal hari ini. Thank you so much, Ben, for speaking to us today. That was Ben Sofian of Merdeka Center. So there you hear it. I mean, just keep a lookout at those big states and you might get a general idea as to where this is going.
So he said Perak, Johor,
Selangor, Sabah Sarawak.
Yes, all the big states, we'll see whether. And you know what? Some of the think tanks have come out to say that some of these states are actually up for grabs. There could be a tipping point to be seen today.
Johor is apparently in play, which is something nobody thought they would ever hear ever. So,
birthplace of UMNO.
Birthplace of UMNO. We've got some messages coming your way. And then after that, Midnight Oil bids are burning on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.